This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode 35, What Are You Bringing to Church Culture? Let's talk about church culture. The term church culture is generally referring to the social norms or implied rules that aren't church doctrine, but are just the way things usually go. We aren't saying church culture with a negative connotation. We love so much about it and are challenged by some of it too. Maybe you can relate. Let's get churchy. Well, 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 welcome to the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with your friends about all the wellness.
Let's discuss what the gurus are saying and weave the good stuff into our lives.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends, and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us.
Okay, and just one more thing before we start is that we just really wanted to express to you that we understand how sensitive this topic is for people, and it can be very triggering for people who have had bad experiences with church culture, and we do not want to minimize that in any way. We are coming to it with our own experiences and perspectives and just trying to give you some suggestions of tools that are working for us that might work for you.
We definitely know we don't have the cure-all answers for things.
We could do a podcast episode on almost every single thing that we talk about here specifically.
We absolutely could. And we're totally open to learning from you. So definitely come teach us. If we miss something here, just know that this is coming from love and wanting to create unity. And
at the end of the episode, we list a bunch of other podcasts. If you want to get a more expansive view from this, a little jumping off point, we talk about a lot of other podcasts that have different perspectives that we've learned so much from that we're so grateful for.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, that being said,
let's do this.
Let's dive in. Well, hello, everybody.
Hi.
Cassandra and I are recording on our little break, so to speak. School's back in session, but we took a little break. You haven't heard from us for a couple weeks.
I know.
We're hoping you have gone back and listened to some of the old pods.
You forget about us?
Yeah, we hope you didn't forget about us. Hope you've been either re-listening or maybe listening to some of the episodes you haven't heard before.
Yeah, and I was thinking too, if you're back after our last episode when I had the horrible vocals happening, then you're tried and true, and I love you, and thanks for coming back and not judging me on my microphone.
We were Zooming, yes?
Yes.
And your cord broke. I mean, I wish you guys could see. Cassandra pulls out her trusty cord to plug in her good mic, and it's just like as if it was slammed in a door.
The whole entire thing just crumbles in my hands. Dang, and I'm like, what? It has never left my home. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, well, and luckily, you know, so we had the MacBook speakers.
Yeah, we just pushed through. So if you're here again, I want to just give you a giant thanks.
Yes, a giant thanks. Okay, so what are you drinking today? What's your bevy?
Okay, so I'm just drinking ice water today. And I have to tell you, I might be getting off my Starbucks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more.
Because the chai has more sugar in it than I want it to
have.
It's
so much sugar.
There's so much sugar in it. No matter what I try to do to make it not, that's the chai flavoring just has a lot of sugar. And so I'm looking at other options.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't drink my matcha from Starbucks ever for the same reason.
Well, and if you ever drink it from somewhere else, you're like, oh my gosh, what is the plastic that I'm drinking over at Starbucks?
I know. I wish they would kind of get with it a little bit.
I know. It's a little mass produced.
Yeah, it's a kind of a big brand, and there are, I don't want to label it just California. There's a lot of people that don't want that much sugar, okay?
No.
Wait, cut back on the sugar, Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah. So I need you to know that I'm out hunting around for some new chai, something that doesn't have as much sugar in it.
Okay, well,
I'm on the market.
I'll show you downstairs before you go. Don't let me forget. I have a little thing of chai spice that I put like a little scoop of it into things sometimes, but then you would have to doctor up. You might want to find something that has a little bit of sweet for you still. Yeah?
No, because I think I could do, I would add my own sweet.
Okay, I think I might have something for you. I'd tell you guys about it right now, but I can't remember the name of it, so maybe next time. But it's a really good one. I've been adding it to my drinks and it's new, so
okay,
you might like it.
So yeah, it's just water for me until I can find my new soulmate.
Oh, well, I'm having a little bit of a treat tonight.
Yeah, you are.
Good old Izzy. Do you guys know about Izzy's? soda water, sparkling water with a juice. They make it in a bottle and it's kind of fancy and has a very Martinelli's vibe.
Listen, they know about Izzy's. It's at the Costco.
That's true. You guys know about Izzy's, but I got to tell you my flavor. I don't know if it's out there anymore, so I'm sorry if you can't get this one, but it's the orange cranberry spice that they had around Christmas time. My gosh, you guys, it's so good. Do it with a lot of ice because you know it's a little too sweet for me. I usually go half soda water, like LaCroix or something with it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't this time. I just did tons of ice so that it kind of diluted it. But it's just a real good treat. Well, and no added sugar in those. I'm sure they're not like great for you, but
no, but that's why you said it's a treat.
Yeah, it's a treat.
Okay. And one last thing before we jump in, we just wanted to tell you thanks for all your support. We are having the best time over on our Instagram feed with you. It's so much fun to have all these great discussions. And that's the reason why we started this podcast. It was to build bridges of truth seekers with our three wells, our mind, body, and soul. So we just want to say thanks for being so interactive and sharing us with your friends and your sister-in-laws and your neighbors and just for all of your support. We just wanted to say thanks.
Yes, thank you so, so much. And a little secret, I don't know if I should let them in on this. You guys probably could have guessed it, but we have a big goal. We want to get to that 10,000 follower mark. We're so close. And if we get it, guys, then we can swipe up. And then we can put our bevs in our Wellicky Hears and we can just swipe up. It'll be so easy.
It'll be so easy to connect you with all the stuff we are talking about we get that swipe up.
We put those already in our show notes always with a link that takes you straight to the item.
Right.
But we know that Instagram is really convenient. So, guys, share with your friends. Keep it up. You've gotten us to where we are. So, thank you.
Yes.
And we are just hoping to hit that number real soon.
Yes, we are. Okay, so speaking of our feed, one of the things that we've been talking about a lot lately on our feed is church culture. And we've loved all your input, and we are going to discuss lots of your input today on the podcast. We have also had plenty of conversations about church with friends and family who share our same faith and some who don't. We are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but as we discuss this general topic, we can see that there are lots of similarities in other faiths, and many of you talked about your church experiences on our Instagram, and it was so interesting to see those common threads.
Absolutely, yeah. Some of the things that we talk about might feel specific to our faith, but I'm sure that even if you are of another faith, you can relate them to yours as well. So another way that we refer to this difference between church culture and church doctrine is letter of the law versus spirit of the law, meaning that sometimes our interpretations of certain doctrines is what we would call the spirit of the law. And then there would be a specific written word like scripture or an announcement on our church website. And these would be considered letter of the law. So sometimes these seem to conflict and sometimes people get something different from their personal interpretations.
Yeah, when people are agreeing on the spirit of the law, it may create a cultural norm. Like if the letter of the law is honor the Sabbath day, and the cultural interpretation might mean that you don't play sports on Sunday, then not playing sports on Sunday becomes the cultural norm. And some people may consider that interpretation to be the spirit of the law, but others might feel differently. They may feel like they can play sports on Sunday and still feel like they are in line spiritually.
I think that's when people have issues with the cultural norms, though. It's when the spirit of the law is different for you than the cultural norm.
Yes.
You might kind of take an issue with the church culture because what you think your interpretation is different than the cultural norm. Or, as almost everyone we know has stated, it's mostly that we don't like the judgment for feeling differently about something.
Right. And this whole topic is one of our favorite topics. I mean, we've literally been talking about this for years, Britt. But it's also very, very sensitive. And we don't think there is much upside to excessive complaining about church culture. But we also don't think there is much of an upside to pretending like we are aligning with something at church that we really are not. Especially if pretending is causing resentment and shame, we would like to take more of the approach of less complaining, more conversations. Complaining might get someone's attention to create change, but complaining doesn't help us to feel aligned. And so conversations that are aligned with love, when we're learning and staying open, create change that also helps us to feel aligned within ourselves and is driven by solutions and growth.
Absolutely. We're not going to have an episode today that bashes church culture, but we also want to talk about some of the common struggles, because we know that will help with breaking down the shame that surrounds feeling guilty about disliking things about church culture.
One of the things I have the hardest time with is disliking something in our culture, but feeling like if I express that opinion, I'll no longer be considered like a strong member, or I'll end up on the list of the people that needs to be like saved by someone like knocking on my door. Please don't knock on my door. There's a reason I have a gate. Please don't come try to save me. But we can figure this out. How do you disagree with something the church says and not feel shame about it? And you know who we have to go to if we're talking about shame is the shame guru herself.
Of course.
Brené Brown. Because she spent the majority of her career researching and educating about shame. She encourages people to speak to shame. And when you do that, it uncovers the dark place that shame lives. She says shame needs three things to grow exponentially: secrecy, silence, and judgment. Shame discourages connection, but we weren't meant to do this world alone. And if we disconnect, then we are trying to do it alone. We need communities, friends, families, etc. to help us grow and evolve. Mm. Thanks, Brené.
That is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. And so true. And I would also like to add a quick note on the opposite side about complaining by Joyce Meyer, who is a female minister who we don't know too much about, but we are just kind of learning about. And anyway, she said, complaining is a dangerous business. It can damage or even destroy your relationship with God, your relationship with other people, and even your relationship with yourself. So as Cassandra stated before, we can have healthy conversations where we don't indulge in complaining.
We don't want to over-dramatize or indulge in judgment, especially when that's often exactly what we are bothered about. And we aren't going to feel shame. We are going to discuss some of this stuff because we can talk about it and we can be real without complaining. And if Brené Brown tells us to speak to it, well, doggone it, we're going to speak to it.
That's right. That's right. So when we had this little convo with you guys on Instagram, one of the questions we asked was, what challenges you about church culture? And we got so many responses. It was really fun that this was a topic that so many of you wanted to weigh in on. And again, from all different churches. Mm-hmm. And across the board, the most common answer that we got was feeling judged. And I think this one is a big one, because while we don't like feeling judged anywhere, we may especially not like it in a place of God.
Yeah, it feels especially like sensitive when you feel it there, when you feel like you're going there for a sanctuary and...
Yeah, and you come across that, right?
Yeah.
So some of the other things were pride, patriarchy, white privilege, gossip, self-righteousness, overwhelming expectations, all the stigmas and stereotypes, hypocrisy of members... And I'm just going to keep reading this list, guys, because I think it's important to just go right on down this list. And just as I'm reading it, I want you to know that we had duplicates of most of these. Mm-hmm. Some of them I'm condensing, but it's important to just kind of like speak on all of this. So I'm going to keep going. Church people thinking that they're above other people. Overwhelming to try to fit in. The expectation of perfection. People in leadership positions being hypocrites. Too much worshiping of leaders and overemphasis on admiration of leaders. False perfectionism being portrayed. Pressure to be involved. The never say no mentality, specifically for callings. People saying they will serve in a certain capacity and then not showing up. Toxic positivity being a sign of faithfulness. No allowance for struggles. Not enough LGBTQ acceptance or understanding. Cliques and difficulty fitting in. Overemphasis on modesty, missions, and marriage. Gossip and non-doctrinal traditions that drive away the spirit. Not enough diversity. There isn't just one way to be a faithful member of the church. the culture sometimes feels very limiting. Intolerance for people who are questioning or don't feel aligned with certain aspects of the doctrine. Assumptions made about people's political preferences or stance on social justice issues. Participation requirements to prove how committed you are to your faith. Narrow perception and fears about finding truth anywhere outside of scripture.
So are all of you just like nodding along right now?
Right. You might be going, not really that one for me. Oh, for sure that one. Right.
So as you're even saying these, Britt, like I feel like this pit in my stomach, like growing and growing, and I'm like wincing, like, yeah, that one bothers me. That one bothers me. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know? And at one point or another, I feel like I've struggled with all of them.
Yeah.
How about you? Yeah?
Yeah, really.
Although I have my go-to things that always irk me, and you know them all.
Yeah.
But the truth is, these things are really challenging. And since we don't have a magic wand to change things immediately, we, of course, have gone to one of our favorite things.
Thought work.
Because it has helped us in so many areas of our lives. I have thought worked the crap out of my ideas about church, and it honestly changed the way I see everything there.
That's so cool, Anj, and I agree and feel the exact same and would say amen to that, because it takes some work. It really has to take some work.
I know. Don't you wish it didn't?
I wish it didn't, but the truth is that it does, and it has for us. Yeah, so I mean, we have so many more things to say about this, but because we have learned so much about thought work, we know that most of these things on this list are just thoughts. There are some facts in there that are cultural circumstances. And what do we know about circumstances?
Neutral.
They're neither positive or negative by nature. Sometimes it's hard to believe that with some of them. It really is how we think about them that makes them positive or makes them negative. But we aren't saying this in a dismissive way like, oh, it's all just in your head. We're saying it in a way that gives us some perspective. For example, if someone is asked by another person to help serve at church in some way, that could be a circumstance. And one person might have a thought like, I have to say yes, because culturally speaking, it's taboo to say no. And that might lead them to feelings of resentment when they say yes. And it might lead to inaction, like not following through on their commitment because they didn't want to do it in the first place. Another person might take that exact same circumstance and think, I'm choosing to say yes, even though I know that there are many aspects of this commitment that will stretch and challenge me, and I am up for all of it. And then their actions will support them owning their decision. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because you really do want that ownership over your decision.
Right.
Whether it's yes or no.
Yeah.
And we could run the same type of model. If you're being asked to do something and you say no, you can say no and you can feel resentful if you think there shouldn't be so much pressure and you can feel like church culture needs to change. Or you can say no and really like your reasons for saying no and then not carry guilt or resentment. I say no to saying public prayers all the time. It's so unbelievably uncomfortable for me. And I get anxious. I write my prayers out. I used to. When I would say yes and feel a little bit of resentment about it, I would write my prayers out because I would be so nervous and shaking going up there. And so now I'm just like, no, I have plenty of other things to bring to the table.
Absolutely.
Prayer's not one of them.
But you feel like you can really stand in alignment with that no.
Yeah.
You're not mad at anybody for asking you.
Not mad at a soul.
Yeah, and I think it's good to check in and just remember that while we don't like certain things about church culture, it isn't because they are inherently bad or wrong. And again, we're not talking about doctrine things here.
Right, or church history or things like that.
Or church history thing or things like that that maybe we have changed our stance on and maybe have decided that we were wrong about. We're talking about cultural things, right? We're talking about things that people have interpreted one way or another, and then decided that that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just their own interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good for us to check in on that. And the only reason that we feel the way that we feel about whatever the thing is because we have thoughts about it. And we don't need to rush to change our thinking. We can think it over and decide if these are thoughts we want to keep or not. We may have so many thoughts that we decide that we don't want to go to church. And that's always an option. And that might be what a person needs. And it's really impossible for us to know that for someone else. However, most of the time we do still want to go to church. We just wish it were different in the specific ways that we want it to be. And maybe we're worried that by staying in, it might be misunderstood as us agreeing with the things that we don't agree with. But since we can't control everything everyone else thinks or does, we're just going to talk more about some of the things that we have both done to bring us some peace.
Right. Like, if I can't change church into like a yoga studio with like sweats and lots of diffusers and incense going,
yes,
then, you know, these are the next best things.
Right.
So I think it's important to say that it is helpful just to do this first step of recognizing that we have a thought that is causing our feeling. And also, there may be some observations we make, or rather thoughts that we have, that we want to keep, even though they make us sad or uncomfortable, because that is being true to ourselves. For example, if we don't like that culturally there are some assumptions made about politics, or if we think there isn't enough cultural diversity, we may not want to pick a new thought because we feel aligned with our opinion on that.
Right.
But we have to realize and own that we aren't feeling frustrated because of the assumption that was made about our political views, or because there isn't enough diversity, but rather because of our thought about it.
Yes, and that's exactly why there are people in the same meetings that we are in not feeling the same way we're feeling, because they aren't having the same thoughts we're having.
Right.
So it's good for us to know that it's our thinking, and that way we can keep it really clean and also stay empowered.
It's important to me to always like keep that empowerment within myself, because it's the only thing that I can control.
Right.
We can still choose to go and want to go, even though we have thoughts and cause for disappointment and sadness. We just have to choose to process those feelings and take the time that we need to do that. We believe strongly in the power of taking the time to study, think, ponder, or even take a break to wrap our heads around why we want to go or not go to church. And that time is sacred and powerful and important.
Right. And also, we own that because some of our thoughts that we might have might generate feelings of sadness or disappointment or difficult emotions like anger even, those might be the exact feelings that we need to propel us into actions that might create some change. And so instead of being so quick to jump ship or run when we have those feelings, kind of sitting in them and then deciding what to do about them can be like a pretty powerful position. And I say powerful in the sense of like you feel empowered and potentially change takes place.
Right.
And if we all try to just feel good about something that we don't actually feel good about, then the change that needs to take place doesn't happen. We need to realize we're not wrong for feeling the way we feel about something. And maybe the reason we feel that way is because we need to be the one to say something.
Yeah, because it needs to propel you to change.
Right.
So it's, you don't want to rush to leave, but you also don't want to rush into positivity either.
Right, exactly. And so that's why we're saying for us to really take a look at our thoughts and what is creating the feeling that we're having. You know, the thought we're having about something is why we're having the feeling that we're having, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to know what that thought is and then be like, what am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's going to be, I'm just going to be sad about it. And sometimes it's going to be, I'm going to meet with the bishop and have a talk.
Right, right.
You know, and let somebody know that this is how I'm feeling about this.
Right.
People can't read our minds, you know?
I mean, I can. So, and then there's this whole other side about what do we love about church culture? And we received just as many responses to this question as we did to the previous one. The most common answer by a mile was community.
So many people wrote that.
That they love what the community offers.
Yeah.
Or we love the community it offers.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that were said were, I appreciate that members where I live really try to practice and live their faith and truth and come from love. People are generally there to learn and improve. I love feeling a sense of companionship with people I don't have a lot in common with, but with whom I have had heartfelt and meaningful conversations with. The sense of peace in every building. No matter where you go, there's a congregation worshiping in a similar way. As soon as you walk in, you're enveloped by community. We hope so. Surrounding yourself with like mindsets, wanting to do good and be good. We had a couple people comment that what they love about church culture is that there is no judgment when a sin is confessed.
I think what they meant by that, honestly, is that like when they have gone to a bishop or something and confessed a sin, there wasn't judgment. There was love and acceptance.
Oh, right. And
that's what it should be.
Yeah. It's not everybody's experience. Right. But I'm glad it was this person's.
Right. I'm glad it was this person. And really, that should be the cultural norm. Right? Right. So I'm glad that that's what some people are finding is that they, and I've always actually had that experience. Every time I've confessed anything, I felt like a lot of love and like acceptance.
Really?
That's been my experience too. Yeah.
So you didn't have your bishop when you were a teen go on your wedding day, go up to your husband and be like, wow, I can't believe that you guys got married and you made it out of here alive. She's a mess.
No, I did not.
Well, that's unfortunate for you. Okay, so love for each other, common ground, the music. Oof, that's one that I do love too. When people are real with their lives and the feeling of community is so good, the family it provides, bearing one another's burdens, church communities can support each other and come together, Christian friends, brotherly, sisterly love, and being part of a group that feels like family, opportunities to serve, gathering with like-minded humans to worship and listen to his good news, worshiping together, other perspectives, experiences, and knowledge to help teach my children and me. Also interesting to note that more than half of the people that took our poll on Instagram preferred being taught over seeking out our own answers.
Right? Isn't that interesting?
That's really interesting.
So to me, that kind of like speaks to maybe that being something people also love about being going to church, right?
Right.
Being taught by somebody who's taken the time to prepare, you know?
Yeah.
There are really so many things that we all seem to feel really grateful for about church and the culture that provides us with so many positive things. And we think it's pretty cool that we all love the idea of community and like-minded thinking. That was such like a repetitive thing that people kept saying, community and like-minded thinking. And so it makes perfect sense that what we don't like is when the thinking isn't like-minded, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is where the two of us have really gotten some traction, when we both have had the chance to really think about what church means to us. Like, what is it really? Like, take the culture side out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We just gave you a big list of both sides and just ask yourself, what does church mean to you?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing that we want you guys to get out of this podcast today, if nothing else, because we think this is for sure something that each person needs to figure out. What we have realized is that for us, church is really in our hearts. It's a personal relationship with God, a direct line of personal peace, prayer, and promptings. That is what it is for us. And the culture is meant to support, enrich, and encourage that. When we are aligned with God in Christ, it's easier to recognize when something doesn't feel aligned with you, and we can take action from that place of alignment rather than feeling like we have to be aligned with a leader or people or the congregation and then feeling disappointment, anger, or shame when those people don't support, enrich, or encourage our feelings.
Right. Totally. And we obviously don't have all the answers on whether or not we should all be participating in a congregation
mm-hmm.
or be a member of a ward. But what we can say is that we choose it and we like our reasons. We choose it because of how it supports us in our personal spiritual journeys. And part of how it does that is by offering us perspectives that might be quite different than our own. If we always surround ourselves with people who think and see things exactly how we do, then it's going to be kind of challenging for us to grow beyond that. I mean, we have friends that we get together with and we pick each other's mind about spiritual things and we learn from each other for sure and we grow so much, but there's no question that we are pretty like-minded, right? And we think pretty similar to each other. And so if we didn't ever get any other perspectives beyond that, I think we'd be a little more limited in our growth.
Right. So for example, I am not great at reading the scriptures. It is not where I feel aligned with God, but other people are. And so I like being in that room because people who learn from scripture can teach me.
Right.
And hopefully I can lend something to them that helps me feel aligned.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and it's like then you're still getting something out of the scriptures.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to come to you directly. It's coming. You got yourself in a place where somebody that really does get them spoke something, and maybe something they say aligns with you.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, Sister Jones, did you read them this week for us?
Yeah.
So I can learn from you? Thanks, sis.
It's great. I mean, I think that's so great. And definitely there are challenging things, right? Mm-hmm. But those are the things that we like about it.
Right. Even though it isn't always easy, we both see that often the hardest times for us with church culture have been because we are mirroring the very thing that we're mad about.
Right.
So, for example, are we judging people who judge us? When people think we do it differently, do we think they should be doing it differently? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. When we don't want people to make assumptions about us, are we assuming that they should know better?
Yeah.
So that is something that we try to check in with ourselves on and just really kind of be on to ourselves.
Right. And I mean, the other thing is that rather than deciding that we won't attend church because people aren't as educated as they should be about something in church history, or they aren't educated enough or doing enough about a prominent social issue, could we maybe consider that we're the perfect addition to that meeting? Because we do have something to offer in that arena, you know?
Yes. Yes. Because what if we just decided not to?
Right. People would miss out on that.
Yes, because our beliefs and passions about things are driven by our own experiences.
Yes.
So that's what makes it a rich place, is if people are all sharing from their own experiences.
Right. And they're going to be different.
Right. Since we all have different life experiences, we can all bring something to the table. We might feel like our voice isn't heard and that people are uncomfortable with our experiences and perspectives.
Right, but we have to share them. We have to share them. We have to show up the way we want because that's who we want to be, even if not everyone agrees with us.
Right. There have been times when I have had somebody teaching say something like very boldly that I disagree with, and I have learned that I can just leave if I'm mad and give myself some time to process the things that they've said. And other times I've been curious as to why they feel the way that they feel and have felt inclined to respectfully share a different perspective.
Yeah.
And why a different way feels like a better fit for me. Usually if I'm truly aligned and respectful, I find that there are others in the room who might agree but felt too scared to say something.
Yeah, no, I totally think so. I think that, like we were talking about, your beliefs are really driven by your experiences. Mm-hmm. And so while somebody is sharing their beliefs, and rightly so, based on their experiences,
right,
you may feel differently. And chances are there's probably other people who agree with you.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that you even have to like take away from the other person's experience or belief. You're just there to add yours.
I like that, Brett.
I like that too.
So we live in this time where people are sharing their spiritual selves.
Yes.
In all different ways. It's not just at church meetings. It's not just in a church building, but in podcasts, on social media, in their artwork, with their music, dance, poetry, whatever it is, it's so important because if we all just leave the church because we don't fit a very specific mold, then everyone loses a chance for expansion and growth.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think about so many different people who are changing and helping me grow and expand my understanding of their perspective,
mm-hmm,
and their experiences. And maybe Sunday school isn't the perfect moment for them to do that, or the appropriate moment for them to do that,
mm-hmm,
because there's somebody who's prepared a lesson and we need to respect them and give them their time. But they are doing it in these other outlets that you just listed.
Right.
And we're all still learning and being affected. And that work is so important. I'm so thankful that people are doing that work because it really is, I think, gradually shifting the culture. I think it is. I think it's having a big impact, kind of nudging it along.
Yes.
It is, absolutely. And I mean, to that, we might feel like the culture isn't changing quick enough.
Right.
Some of the thoughts that have helped me with this are thinking, like, God's timing isn't linear. And the other thing I think sometimes is we can bring our energy and our intentions and be part of the changes.
So I love that.
When I'm thinking it isn't changing quick enough, like, okay, I'm seeing little changes, but not enough big changes. Or why do I feel like everyone that I'm associating with outside of church feels a certain way, but then we show up to the building and we don't really see those changes implemented that we hear about.
Yeah, you know? That happens to me a lot.
Yeah. And so you feel like there's a little bit of a disconnect of like what you feel like the culture is doing, and especially on social media and all these movements. But then you get to the building and you're like, we're lagging. We're like behind.
We're a little bit stuck.
Yeah. And so sometimes I just have to remind myself. Those are the things I think, like, I can bring my energy and my intention to be part of the change.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember that God's timing isn't linear. And that's just, you know, a whole other topic. But
right. And we can choose how we want to show up and what we want to bring each time we come to church. We loved one of the comments we got on Instagram from Lisa.Aland. She said, I have focused on tuning out the judgmental and critical thoughts and focus on being a true disciple of Christ. Along with our experiences, opinions, perspectives, and knowledge, we can always choose to bring the Christ-like qualities. Like, it feels like at the end of the day, that is what the focus should be on.
I love this idea of choosing what we want to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's another big takeaway that we would have from today is asking yourself, what am I bringing? And of course, we can always bring our knowledge and our insight and our experiences and our you know, education and all of that. But aside from all of that, like without saying a single word, we can bring compassion and charity and patience and kindness, love, acceptance, unity. We can dig in. We can learn more about our heavenly parents and Jesus and really be the ones that maintain the things we all seem to love so much about gathering and doing church together. Right? It's those Christ-like characteristics that we all love about gathering. So how can we bring those?
Yeah. And that's such an interesting concept to think, like, I don't actually have to like prepare material or say something profound
right
to bring something incredibly important into our congregation.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at the things that we love about the church community, we could decide to reflect on the things that we love about it and really be on to ourselves when we are mirroring the things that we don't love. It's like the mirroring can go both ways.
Ooh, yeah, I like it. So you're saying like the things that we love, we reflect like a mirror, but then we don't mirror the things that we don't love. That's good. It's just gotta be like a one-way mirror, you know, only reflecting the good things, blocking the bad ones. The other thing that can be kind of helpful is to ask yourself if the thing that bothers you at church is something that bothers you everywhere. For example, if you don't like it when people share vulnerable things at church or newer ideas that kind of makes you cringe and you feel a little bit like, ugh, it might be that you don't ever really like it. And that might be something you want to improve on across the board. Or maybe you genuinely just think there's a time and a place for sharing things. But just asking yourself those questions and kind of checking in on like, why is this bothering me?
Right. Why is this uncomfortable?
Right. It's just kind of a good thing. Like, maybe I all the time just really struggle with this and I don't really like that, actually. I would like to get better about that at church and everywhere. Or maybe it's really just like, no, I really just think there's a time and a place.
Yeah, and there are things that we blame on the church that maybe aren't really church exclusive. Most people on the planet are 50% amazing and 50% a mess. So when we find that at church, we could maybe ask ourselves if we find that probably in different ways in everyone.
It's so true. It's like somehow we think that at church, people shouldn't be 50-50. People should be just so much better at church and not have nearly as many flaws, right? And that's just not true. Like, it's just not true.
Well, it's not true. And when you are in your bottom 50 and you're feeling like a mess, you still want to be able to show up to church.
Totally.
And to feel not judged and to feel like, hey, I'm in my bottom 50 right now. Next week, maybe I'll be in my top. Maybe I won't. Yeah. Maybe I'll be like this for a couple years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like every day you have a half good day and a half bad day. You might have like months or years of bottom 50.
Yeah.
You just might.
I mean, take 2020, for example.
Well, but that's also the reason that when you see people who seem to just always be in their positive 50 and you think like, why can't I be perfect like that? Like, hey, trust me. It's not how it always is.
It's not always that way.
You know? Yeah, because that's just kind of the rule of thumb for life and people, right?
Yeah.
I think something else that's been key for both of us is realizing that when someone at church may seem to be in what we would consider gray areas, meaning maybe we would think they're like a little bit off track and we kind of feel those judgmental thoughts creeping in, we can catch ourselves and decide that we're just going to trust that they're living in alignment with themselves and that they know better than we do how they should live their lives. We kind of just need to trust people that while people seem to be in maybe a gray area, that might be where they need to be as they're seeking and questioning and figuring out how they feel about something. And whatever answer that they come to might not even be the answer we think they should come to. But recognizing that that gray area that might seem a little scary to us is maybe where they're going to really figure things out for themselves. And that's such a good thing.
Yeah, I think that the gray area can be one of the most powerful places to be.
And we have to have more tolerance for it. Let me just say that there have been times in my life, probably when I was a little younger, that sometimes I would notice somebody slipping into what I would consider then a gray area. Uh-oh, aren't those kind of signals that they're maybe like falling away or they're not on track or shouldn't we be worried about that person?
Because they're not following a cultural norm.
Because they're not following a cultural norm. And it would, like, a flag would go up in my mind, probably because I was raised in the church. And my mind would be like, uh-oh, we need to be concerned about this. And now I don't have those pop up as much. And that might partly be because I've been in those places more, right? And I've found myself in that gray area wading through questions and trying to figure things out and stuff like that. And so I've been on both sides of it now, and I really feel like it's something we need to have more tolerance for and be more okay with. And I don't just think we need to be more okay with it when it all works out and they end up back in line with the way we think everyone should be living. But that's what I mean. They may receive answers to whatever they're seeking that aren't the answers we think they should receive.
But we need to go back to our thought a little bit ago where we were saying, how about we just trust that people know what's best for themselves?
Right. How about we just trust that?
And I think this is a good point because I think sometimes people think that they need to save someone who they think is off track. And maybe culturally speaking, they aren't in the norm. And that makes us uncomfortable. And we have scriptures about lifting one another up and being our brother's keeper and stuff like that. But we have to make sure that if we reach out to them in any way, we do it in alignment with what we really believe and that our actions are driven by love, not fear.
Right. There's such a huge difference. And having been a person that's been doing the reaching out in both ways, love and fear, I know how it feels to be the person reaching out to somebody. I also know how it feels to be on the receiving end of the reach out. And I know the difference of the feeling of love versus fear.
Right.
It's a very important point, I think. And usually to figure out if we're in love or fear, we have to really slow down and be real with ourselves and get aligned.
Yeah. And of course, we love what Byron Katie suggests, which is there's my business, there's your business, and there's God's business. And we need to stay in our own business. And then we would add, make sure that our actions are driven by love and guided by the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had people come in my home that were very fearful of things that were happening and tried to come and quote-unquote comfort us from that place. And it felt awkward and it felt uncomfortable. And then another person could come talking to us about the same concern, but from love, and it feels completely different.
I think we really need to take that advice in, all of us. And if we all strive to do that, if we took Byron Katie's advice, and if we took the advice of getting aligned in love, I think this whole world would be a better place, let alone church culture.
Yeah.
Right? And it's key that we know how the Spirit speaks to us for this very reason. How we treat and receive others, no matter how they're living their lives, but also so that we can know when we are being guided for our life. It kind of takes me back to the thing you mentioned before about all the different ways people are sharing themselves. Like when you were talking about them sharing podcasts and music mm-hmm. and art and all these different ways that they're expressing themselves.
Right.
Which kind of brings us to the other big question that we want to leave you guys with, which is, what is your spiritual language? Like, how does God reach you?
Right. We might read the books of scripture, whatever they are for you and your religion, and understand them in different ways. Like maybe we receive clarity when we listen to the Don't Miss This podcast. Or maybe it's through meditation, music, fashion, the earth, our bodies, exercise, dance, design, sports, literature, poetry, food. Or maybe it's when we are creating something. More and more, we can see how our hobbies, the things that bring us joy, help us to look internally and therefore closer to our heavenly parents.
I think this question is so important for us to really get in line with how God reaches us because of all the things we were talking about before, because of how it means that we'll treat one another, because of how we'll be able to get guidance for our own lives. And as I have thought about this a lot, like, how does God reach me and what's my spirit language? I feel like it's usually me doing a lot of research, reading all the things, listening to all the things, talking to my clients and friends and family.
And Sunday school teachers and conference talks.
I gather a lot of info. And then it usually hits my heart and I feel the spirit when I like start speaking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like after I've gathered a ton of information, as I notice something that I've been learning about apply to somebody else's life.
Or my life.
And I speak on it. Oh my gosh, there's that thing mm-hmm, that I mm-hmm. learned about in action. That really confirms to me how I feel about that principle. So it's like I learn about it and then I need to kind of see it. And sometimes I feel like I am spoken to by God through rituals like going for a walk or looking at a sunset or Palo Santoing my house mm-hmm. or doing body scan where I visualize clearing everything out so that I'm open to receive. So I think it's really good for us to take a minute and ask ourselves this question. So Cassandra, what do you think your spiritual language is? How does God reach you?
Okay, so first I'm going to tell you what my sister says, because her spiritual language is different than mine, but I really love it. And she says she doesn't believe science is separate from spirit. She believes that science is the language of God or spirit. And a lot of times science is how things are spoken to her.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. But for me, it's definitely not science.
Yeah. Okay. See?
For me, it's definitely through design and art. And I feel most aligned with God when I'm creating and designing spaces that help people connect to themselves, not just spaces that look good or anything like that. It's really when it is helping them connect to themselves. And I love art and color and texture and form and all of these design elements. They remind me of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think, oh, thank you for making that. Yeah. Thank you for making that texture.
Yeah.
And I like understanding how a space can soothe someone. And I love poetry and reading and calming walks through my house barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I feel very grounded and centered in my home. And mm-hmm. it's not usually in the walls of a chapel or the temple. And that's okay. That's not usually where I feel the most grounded. But I have created something like that in my home. And I used to have a lot of shame wrapped around why those places don't resonate with me. But I learned to let that go and to lean into the places that I do feel that alignment and my conversations with God. And so when asked, why do I keep going then? Like, why do you keep going to church? Then I would respond that I go to church because it's one of the places that I learned my life principles and values, and I honor that. And I go because it's not about me. It's about worship. And I've also learned a lot about how I like to show up. I like to be under the radar. I don't want to seek big callings. I don't want to speak or bear my testimony. Those things do not feel like they strengthen me. They give me so much anxiety and they stress me out. So when I kind of let go of a lot of that, then I'm able to be more expansive in the things that do make me feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
But I do go for the sacrament, and I go because I love the people there. I go because it diversifies my children's perspective.
That's a big one for me too.
Yeah. I go because it's part of my spiritual practice. I go to show my kids that church can be a tool or an example of a spiritual practice that they may want to participate in throughout their lives, or maybe not. And I like having a day set aside to really focus my soul towards Christ when I have minimal obligations. I go because I want to see things change, and I want to support and help those on the margins and be an ally for them.
Yep. I really, really love that. Amen to all those things you said too. But I think this is so good. We've asked ourselves some questions like, what does church mean to you? And then what is God's spiritual language with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are personal things that nobody can answer for you.
Right.
These are things that are going to be in your heart.
So maybe for you, it's like listening to a podcast, like maybe this one.
Come on, guys.
Maybe it's through like your parents or a trusted friend. Maybe it's in your mind and heart. And when you really quiet down and listen, it sounds like you. But for sure, there's a language calling you. You yes. just got to find it. You got to learn how to speak it.
Yes. If we can get really comfortable and open to that language, then we'll strengthen that church inside of us, you know?
Okay, okay.
That relationship with God that's in our hearts. And I think as we strengthen that, we stop handing over our personal revelation to someone else and then feeling victimized by it. We mm-hmm. get to a place where we're making decisions from our own inner knowing, and we'll have experience and confidence in our choices.
Yeah. So in summary, we know that there are things about church culture that we can each point to as a problem. There are plenty of them. And likely these things will be different for each of us. So there's a few things we want you to remember.
Yes.
Okay.
A few takeaways.
Couple takeaways here. Number one, let's remember that we feel how we feel because of our thoughts.
Number two, let's be on to ourselves when we mirror the very thing we don't like about church culture.
Number three, be intentional about reflecting the things we do love about church culture.
Number four, decide what church means to you.
Number five, decide what we want to bring to church.
Number six, figure out how God speaks to you.
Number seven, ask yourself if this issue is church exclusive or if it is something that is problematic everywhere in your life.
Number eight, beliefs are forged by our experiences. Be curious about others and be willing to share yours.
And number nine, stay in alignment with love, not fear.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for coming with us on this topic, this deep topic. We hope that it can relate to you in some way in your life.
And one thing that I would say too is that we are not saying that church culture is easy. It's not.
Right.
It's tough. And we need the people who have a tough time with it to use their voice and their language from God to try to change things.
And we are saying that the things that we love about church culture, the positive side of church culture, can be amplified. And it can be amplified by our intentions
mm-hmm.
and us being really intentional about what we bring. And we can actually even make changes from the place of all those things we love most about church culture. The changes can come from the community
mm-hmm.
coming together. The changes can come from like-minded thinking. The changes can come from that support system that bears our burdens with us. Like all the things that we love so much about it are also the things that can kind of help us weed through the things that aren't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And reform a little bit. And that's going to take us being willing to kind of hang in and speak up.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's transfer into our well looking here, because even though we're real churchy and spiritual today, we still like the vain things of the world.
We still like crap.
Yeah, we sure do.
Don't take my crap from me.
That the darn truth. Okay, so what are you going to share with us today?
Okay, so the thing that I am going to share today is my Apple Pencil. So I got a new iPad for Christmas with an Apple Pencil, and I'm just a doodling fool. And the kind of cool thing about it, too, is that even my kids, they'll, like, grab it. And because you have all these tools in one place and you don't have to gather a bunch of stuff, they have fun doodling on it, too.
I'm not going to lie. I was jealous. I saw it. I was like, sheesh, you got that? That's so rad. And here's the thing.
Manny Z, 805.
She needed it, though. I don't know that I need it. I don't think I'd have a good enough utility for it because she's real artsy and she needs a place to doodle and make it permanent. I'm telling you, that was a really good gift for you.
It felt real good.
Yeah, I'm glad you have that.
What about you?
Okay, so one of my well-looky hears, one of my clients, Amanda, she's just wonderful and she listens to the podcast. So thank you for listening also. But she was getting her hair done the other day and she told me about a podcast episode that I had to listen to in conjunction with something I needed to buy.
What?
And guys, I'm just like so jazzed about it. So it's...
Britt, say jazzed again. You're seriously 90. I love it.
So it's from the Be Well podcast.
Hey, I mean, great name.
Come on now, great name. It's about how bee products play a role in our health.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks a lot about bees in general mm-hmm. and how we can do our part in saving the bees.
Mm-hmm.
But also like the bee products that are out on the market that are really good and how to determine which ones are good and not. But also some of the properties in propolis, which is part of honey and in royal jelly and the bee pollen that you see everywhere and all the different things, like what do they each mean? And there's a lot of antiviral properties. So that's why I'm feeling like this is real relevant right now.
Okay.
We're kind of in sickness season.
Yeah.
Never mind that we're also in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of these reasons, I mean, it's a spoonful of sugar. We're talking literally Mary Poppins right now with this medicine. Okay. And I know I'm selling it to you, but you should still go listen to this podcast because it just got me. I ordered like every product on the market and I've been taking a spoonful down a day.
And how do you feel?
I mean, great. And there's a throat spray. This is what I like about it. There's all these studies that are basically like, okay, you know, these ingredients and all these very common children's medicines, All these awesome clinical studies that these honey products get the exact same result.
Crazy.
So you can either give your kid these specific types of honeys
mm-hmm.
or you can give them the syrups. And
yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you do the natural thing? If it's literally the same benefits.
The same clinical outcomes.
And it's a spoonful of sugar.
Britt, you don't like sugar.
I know, but it's still like a thing with Mary Poppins. It's very like nostalgic and I want to offer it to my children.
Do you ever say, just a spoonful of sugar?
That's a medicine. Go down. Yes, okay. The whole thing's in way too high of a key for me, but I take it down to my own register
What's a
when
key?
I do it. What's a key? You started too high. Okay?
Oh, sorry.
You started too high.
Because I don't know what a key is.
The bottom line is you got to go listen. You got to get your honey. That's it.
That's great.
We also feel like we need to mention to you, since we're on the churchy topic, some of our favorite churchy podcasts that we are loving so much, learning so much from, having our views expanded, getting our minds blown.
Yes. Okay. So we love Ben and Charlie over on Questions from the Closet.
Yes.
They are members of our church. They are both gay and they talk to all of these gay topics, LGBTQ related topics, and it's really awesome.
Really
awesome. I love it. They're both best-selling authors. It's great.
Yes, they're great, teaching us so much. I also just found out about a podcast called Follow Him. It just barely started this year to follow along the Come Follow Me with with DNC, and so far have really liked it. Super well researched, people who are like very educated that know things that I don't know. So I've been loving them. Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife.
Mm.
Gosh, it's so fun to say her name.
I wanted to say her name.
Sorry. Took her. Okay, so she is a sex expert. I'm not even going to like try to figure out exactly what she's called, but she is like a sex expert. She is also
sex expert. She's got to be like a sex therapist. I mean, she's an expert at sex.
She's probably both.
She's
for sure both.
We're just going to call her a sex expert.
She's just a sex expert. Okay. Listen, this sex expert, she gets out there and she does a lot of podcasts. And so she's such a genius that her assistant Ruby just compiles all the podcasts that she goes on to and puts them on as her own podcast. And so if you go to her podcast, it's called Sex Expert. No, I'm just kidding.
It's called I Am the Sex Expert.
It's called Mormon Sex Expert. It's called Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife's Podcast Archive. Just take a scroll through all her sex topics and really some fantastic, fantastic advice there.
Yes, absolutely. We love, love, love her. She's just rad. Okay, we need to talk about Brother Jones and Brother Knox from Beyond the Block.
Gosh, I love them.
They are fabulous.
They are so good.
And they are a Come Follow Me podcast also, meaning they're following the weekly lessons that we're learning, but they are giving us very unique spins, totally different perspectives.
Yes.
And I love it because it's just seeing all of these scriptures through lenses that are totally different than my own.
Yes, yes.
And I just really love their perspectives.
I do too. I think that they are fantastic. I always look forward to their podcast. I think it's so great. It really helps me when I am teaching my children.
Yeah.
Doing some home church with them to have their perspective is just fantastic. And another one that I love are the Faithful Feminists. Okay, first of all, when you go to their podcast, the icon, like the cover of their podcast, it looks like a couch cushion from the 80s.
It looks like something the background you would make in Relief Society.
Yeah, like my mom, I swear we had that on our sofa. Ditto. And it's so great. So these are two amazing women who also follow the Come Follow Me.
Yes.
And they come from a feminist perspective. And a lot of like a earth-friendly perspective. And they're so knowledgeable. They're so intelligent. And they have great, great insights.
Love them so much. Okay. And then we have already mentioned Don't Miss This. But we're going to mention them again because we have to in this lineup.
Yep.
Love them so much. Another Come Follow Me one. I got to say, I know it may sound excessive, but I really do very often listen to all those different Come Follow Me ones. Like, I like hearing all the different perspectives and takes.
Okay, so that has been one of my things this year, is that I'm going to listen to Beyond the Block, the Faithful Feminists, and the Don't Miss This.
Yeah.
To really get, like, kind of what I feel like more of an expansive view.
Yes, of what's going on. View.
And, like, a little bit more well-rounded. And I think that it gives you the chance to say, okay, like, what is speaking to me and my family this week?
It does, big time. And I mean, I just also have to say that it's so different. Even the Come Follow Me, the actual manual has gotten better and better, I think. And this year, as I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, when I was a kid, nobody ever talked about all the different versions of the first vision or so many things that now are just in the manual. You can click here and go see it.
Well, it's about damn time.
It is. And here's the thing. I think that there are going to be a lot of people who don't grow up feeling so blindsided when this information comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It just was always out for them. Like, I'm curious to see how that affects this next generation.
Right. I think that they're going to be really fortunate.
Because I think it was a big, huge problem for our generation.
Uh-huh.
And so you just look at, like, that's a perfect example of something that, you know, required a lot of like difficult emotions to see some change. And now it's changed. And now this next generation is going to get the benefits of that.
That's right.
Is there anybody else we forgot?
I'm sure there is.
There are. I'm looking at a couple more of them. You know what? I mean, the Listen, Learn, and Love, the
Oh gosh, Osler. How could we forget Osler?
We have to talk about Osler.
Oh, I love Osler.
We have to talk about
Osler. Okay, so
Osler.
His name is Papa Osler on Instagram. I know that.
Yes.
And, I mean, we could even go into a bunch of Instagram people, too, that we love.
Yeah, like, what about husband-in-law?
Husband-in-law.
And she is a woman who it's actually the person, the people doing the podcast there is she, her husband and her ex-husband, who's gay, and they all still function as a very functional.
I love them.
Unit. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, is that the proper word?
Unit.
And they are rad. They do this podcast together and give such a great perspective also.
Yeah. They're really fantastic. As you know, our Instagram always correlates with the show that we are doing for 2 weeks. Yeah. So if you go onto our Instagram, which we would encourage you to do, because, you know, we want that 10,000 swipe up. So if you go on there, you will find us tagging people, reposting this stuff. We will make quotes and things that we think you will find applicable from this episode in our feed and in our stories. So please come over there and say hi to us.
And also come over there and be like, hello, do you not listen to these people? They're amazing. Yeah. They give a totally different perspective too. How have you not heard of them? We need to hear of them. There's a few more people we haven't mentioned, but we want to hear more diverse perspectives. So give us those.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You guys. Be well.